Well, praise the Lord. My wife came home this afternoon. I was in the living room studying, and she said to me, "How are you feeling?" I said, "If I went by my feelings, I wouldn't go to church tonight. But I came because I'm expecting a blessing. I came because I'm expecting a breakthrough, and I came because I wanted to come. I mean, my flesh didn't, but I told my flesh it wasn't going to tell me what to do, that I was coming to deliver the word, and when I deliver the word, I hear the word, and it brings faith to a greater level in my understanding." So, having said that, open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to get some nuggets out tonight. And for the young lady that always wants a title from me, a diligent heart is what I've titled tonight's message. A diligent heart. Proverbs 4. I guess I better get to Proverbs 4. And verse 23. Just to prove to you one more thing. I still got my boots on. I forgot my shoes. So it's the first time I've preached in these boots. I don't know if there's any significance of where we're going tonight with that, but praise the Lord. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence. The understood subject of that is you, and who has to do it? You do. God does not keep your heart. You have to keep your heart. Now, he gives you all the tools in which to do it. He gives you his word, because if we back up, I just pulled that out of there for illustration. But back up to verse 20, my son, give attention to my words. Okay, so that's something we are instructed to do. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. I don't know about you, but that sounds to me like work. And it is work. It's effort to get into the Word and study it. It takes effort. But you know what? You can't accomplish anything in life but what you're going to have to put some effort towards it. You know, this football season, those great football teams, they're training probably right now. They're probably still in the locker rooms lifting weights and getting ready for the game because they want to win. And so they're being diligent about their training. Well, God says right here, give attention to his words. He wants you to be diligent about your training in his word. And it takes diligence. It doesn't just happen. There's going to be times, I promise you, when your flesh will not want to. Can I get anybody to agree with that? But you know, I've found over the course of years that as I look back on times when I didn't really feel like it, I got something greater out of it than I even expected. It was worth the effort. It was worth putting that time in. You're not wasting time getting into God's word, ever. Impossible. So verse 22, why do we want to give attention to his word? Why do we want to listen and keep it before our eyes and keep it in the midst of our heart? Because they're life to those who find them. See, it tells you right there, you have to find them. God doesn't just give them to you. He gave us his word, but you've got to be diligent to find them. And then he said, keep your heart, and the understood subject is you. You keep it. I like the Amplified. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life or the issues of life. Everything that has to do with life comes through our heart. It's going to come through our heart in one way or another. Whether it be a relationship situation, whether it be financial, It comes through our heart. Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart. So what you've put in there, whether it be out of God's word or whether it be secular or even of Satan, it's going to come through your heart. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth's going to speak. It's coming out. So that's why we need to be mindful to put his word in and not just let anything get in there, because it's going to come out. And Bible says, I think it's Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As you think, what's the greatest, the greatest strategy that the enemy has, that he comes at our mind. He comes at your mind with thoughts. He doesn't come at you with a pitchfork. He comes at you with thoughts. And he tries to get you he bombards you with so many thoughts. And he's trying to get you to hold on to them, and then you speak them, and then you begin to, your life goes that direction. But God said, I've set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, you choose life. God told us what to choose. He's telling us what to choose and how to choose it right here in Proverbs. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Diligence, according to Noah Webster, there's several different illustrations here that Noah puts in there. Number one is, diligence is a steady application in business of any kind. So in the business of God's word, it's a steady application. So that's going to be a continuum, a continuous effort. Number two, constant in effort to accomplish what is undertaken. So whether it be in the natural or whether it be God's word, being diligent about something is going to be constant in effort. It's going to be a steady application. Some other words that come to me would be steadfast. Diligent. Steadfast means concrete, immovable. You're going to continue in it, and you're not going to move off from God's word. That's where we've got to get with God's word to allow it to work in our life. It can't be just once a week on Sunday or maybe Sunday and Wednesday. That's not enough, because the enemy comes at us all the time, every day. And so we've got to have the word of God ready to combat him. And what did Jesus say to Satan himself? Satan, it's written. Already know what the answer is. Already know what my response. See, you should already know what your response should be when any thought comes. If it doesn't line up with God's word, then we need to cast it down, the Bible says. But we need to realize that Satan comes at us through our thoughts. He wants to get you upset. He wants you to get ticked off. You know, we see lots of illustrations in God's word. One that comes to mind is Martha. She's just busy, busy, busy. You know, got to get the cooking, got to get the cleaning, got to get all this done. When the word of God, the Son of God, God himself is right there doing a Bible study. And she just didn't recognize it. She had all this other stuff. And he said, Martha, Martha. He said it twice. How many of you growing up, when your parents called your name twice, you knew they meant business? Well, Martha, Martha, you're encumbered by much stuff. And he says, Mary's found the important thing. And that won't be taken away from her. See, the word can't be taken away from you if you're diligent to keep it. The enemy wants to snatch it away. But if you're diligent, he can't override. See, you're the deciding factor. How diligent are you going to be? How constant are you going to stay in effort to accomplish what God said here? Give attention to his words. Listen to them. Put them before your eyes. Keep them in your heart. Because out of them spring the issues of life. Over in Deuteronomy, turn over to Deuteronomy with me, chapter 28. Verse 1. Now it shall come to pass, it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully, which means to do, all his commandments which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you high and above all nations of the earth. And, There's even an and to it. There's more. All the blessings shall come upon you. And look at this. They're going to overtake you. Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. What if you don't obey the voice of the Lord your God? Then you don't get the blessings. Now, Amplified says it this way. If you will listen diligently to the voice of the Lord your God. So that's listening to the word. That's getting into the word. That's how we listen to him. Okay? I don't wake up in the morning or in the night or any other time for that matter and hear God reciting his word to me. I've never heard that. Never once. So if I want to hear his word, I have to put my, you know, effort into it. I have to read it, say it out loud if I want to hear it. But I've never once heard God just, you know, read me a chapter. It doesn't work that way. He's blessed us all. I mean, we can all read, right? And we should be able to get into it, but it's up to us. And so he says here, if you'll listen diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, being watchful to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, and then all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Again, he qualifies it, if you heed the voice of the Lord your God. Just in the natural, go over to Proverbs 10. This is true with the things of God, but it's also true with, you know, just you at your job. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. He who has a slack hand becomes poor. If you're going to be lazy, you're not going to get that promotion. In the natural. Don't even have to know the word of God. People don't generally promote lazy people. And then it goes on to say here, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Well, that can apply in finances, which it certainly is true, but it also can hold true in God's word. If you're diligent in God's word, he can make you rich with his word. And that's power. You need power. And so the word of God has got that power in it to do what it's supposed to do. God said that his word won't return void. It will accomplish what he sent it to do. He will watch over it to make sure it comes to pass. If you decree it and declare it, Job 22:28, it's going to be established. Established means set in concrete. It's immovable. You're going to have it. So when you take the effort to get into his word, to be diligent about it, the benefits far outweigh what you think is time being exerted or used up. The benefits are far greater than that. But the enemy is the one that came into Martha's head and got her all scatterbrained about all this stuff we got to do when she had the master himself right there. And do you think she was listening and taking notes? I doubt it. I doubt it. She was ticked off. She was muttering to herself, I bet, because her sister's just being, she thought her sister's being lazy. But you see, you can't be lazy when you're in the Word of God. God wants you to be in his Word. And that's one time when you can be reading. You know, if you read comic books all day long, then we might have to talk. But if you're reading God's Word, then you're going to benefit from it. And there should be some results from you spending that time in there. How about Hebrews chapter 11? Just some nuggets of scripture here to help us to recognize and to have and to keep a diligent heart. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder for those that just show up at church, you know, occasionally, even if they come twice a week. No, you have to diligently seek him. See, you could come and still check out here. You don't have to be diligent about anything. You could sit in a nice seat and you could be out somewhere else. And if God doesn't show me, you know, I'm not going to know. But if I see you do it for 30 years and I don't see any change in your life, then I'll have to come to a conclusion. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. You know, I've often heard people say, well, and I'm not judging whether somebody really got saved or not, But 30 years later, after people said they got saved, you should see some evidence. Okay? I'm not judging them, but if they have no fruit, I question whether they really meant it in their heart. They might have prayed with you. That's why I'm not real big on just getting somebody to pray. Pray the prayer. Pray the prayer of salvation. And then, you know, that makes us feel good. But see, I don't do that. I want to make sure they understand. I love it when they ask questions, because now I know they're really interested. I don't want to just go up to a stranger and say, here, pray this prayer, and you're going to heaven. That's not what the Bible says. Okay. John chapter 8, the Gospel of John. Anybody getting anything out of this? I know these are scriptures that you know, but you know what? Just because you heard them once or twice or 100 times, it bears repeating, and because that's why God said, if you continue in my word, which we're going to see right here. Jesus said to those Jews who believed, so these are believers, if you abide in my word. That word abide means to live there. It means to continue in. It means to stand firm in. He says, if. So there's the condition. If. Big question. If you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed. Okay, let's just take the reciprocal of that. What if you don't abide in his word? You're not his disciple, according to himself. And he says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I like the Amplified here. So Jesus said to those Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, if you hold fast to my teachings and live in accordance with them. Hold fast to my teachings sounds like there's some diligence and some effort going on. And Jesus can recognize it, and you can recognize it. And you know, as well as you know, God knows. And then he goes on to say, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Abide, according to Noah Webster, I looked that up, means to continue. It means to stand firm. Seems like over in Ephesians chapter 6, when he tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, he gets down a little bit further and he says, stand therefore. How long do you stand till you get the victory? You can't lose if you don't quit. But if you quit, you can't win. You know, if this next week's game, if Tom Brady decides to walk off the field for whatever reason and quit, well, he's not going to win. So a lot of people would be ticked off. But he could do that. I mean, that's possible. But if he quits, he can't win. Come on. So abide also means to continue permanently. I like that. To continue permanently. That's what God was showing us in Proverbs chapter 4. Keep it before your eyes. Listen to it. Keep it. Speak in it. Guard your heart with it. Keep it in your heart. For how long? Like forever. This is a lifestyle. This is who we are. It's not something we do. It's not a religion. It's not just a book of nice sayings. No, this is our life. To continue permanently. Number 4, to be firm and immovable. I like that. To abide in his word is immovable. You're not going to move off the word. You're not going to move off the word. Okay, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Most of you have that for memory. Let's just look at it anyway. Joshua chapter 1. You say, yeah, but that was the Old Testament. Yeah, well, God was big on them obeying him back then. Wanted him to obey him then. He's big on obedience. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Well, if it's not going to depart from your mouth, it's got to get into your heart first. As Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So he says, it shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate. Meditate means, you know, mutter over and over. I mean, you're digesting it. Just like when you eat food and chew it, and then it goes into your, you know, digestive system, and then, you know, all the enzymes and everything is digesting the food. Well, our heart has the capability of digesting God's word. And it produces results when we do that. He says, if you meditate in it day and night, that you might observe to do it. So we've got to be a doer of the word also, not just a reader of it. We don't want to just be faith fat. We want to use our faith and get things done so that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Look at this here. For then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. He's talking about prosperity. He's talking about finances. Look at the Amplified. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely. See, God wants us to deal wisely in whatever it is. In your sewing business, in your carpentry business, whatever we're doing, he wants us to know how to deal wisely. Why? Because when you get his wisdom on the situation, everything is easier. Everything's more profitable. And he wants, you know, he'll make you look good, but we want to make him look good to the world. It goes both ways. Then you shall deal wisely and have good success. Good success. Why did he qualify that you'd have good success? Is it possible to have bad success? Absolutely. You know, these people dealing drugs, they're having success. Fine, just because they got a big bank account doesn't mean they're successful according to God. They're successful, but not good success. First Corinthians chapter 15. Let's look over there for a minute. And I don't have too many more here, and we'll wrap it up and digest what we have tonight. Take it with us. You know, listen to it again. Don't just encourage you to either get the CD or, you know, we have them online that you can listen to them on your iPods and your telephones and all of that. Listen to it again. If you just listen to a message, I don't care if it's a message to do with the things of God or if it's in Harvard University, you remember about 10% of what you hear if you don't do anything else. Can you imagine paying to go to Harvard? I don't know what it costs nowadays. Must be right up there and only getting 10% of your money's worth. No, you better be sure. They're taking notes. They're getting the transcripts. They're getting online. They're getting it all to digest it to make sure that they're not missing anything. Well, you want to do the same thing. How much more important is God's word? Because God's word's going to set you up for success. His way. His way. Where did I tell you to go? 1 Corinthians 15. In 57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if you're in Christ, you've got the victory. You've got the victory. Make him your business partner. Make him the head of your home. He gives us the victory. Therefore, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. In the Amplified, it says, verse 57, he gives us the victory, making us conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be firm, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always being superior, excelling, doing more than enough in the service of the Lord. It's not just doing enough, it's doing more than enough. Knowing and being continually aware that your labor in the Lord is not futile, it's never wasted or to no purpose. That holds true for studying God's word. He gave us instruction in 2 Timothy 2:15. He said, study to show yourself approved, for the workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we have instruction to study it. But we have the victory when we do obey him, when we are steadfast, when we're diligent. And that's what we're talking about, is having a diligent heart so that we can adhere to what he said, just like over in Joshua, what he said to those people. He's saying the same thing to us today. Abide in my word, he said in John 8:31. And then you're truly my disciples. You'll know the truth. The truth will make you free in whatever area of your life, relationships, business, health. you'll know the truth. You'll know how to use that truth. You get the mind of God on it, the wisdom of God on it, and his word is his wisdom. And so you're just gaining, and you're in victory all the way around. And the enemy doesn't know what to do with it. He doesn't know what to make of it. He's going to continue. He's not going to stop. He's going to continue to bring thoughts. He's going to continue to bring offense. Jesus said it's impossible, but there's going to be times when you can get offended. And he just said, don't take them. Don't take them. That takes diligence in God's word because, you know, I was talking to somebody just recently. I think it was this morning or yesterday. And they were having an issue with somebody. And it's like they were getting really angry at him. Like they used the H word. Hate. This is a Christian. Tongue talking. And they told me in my flesh, I didn't want to forgive this person. And he was mad. But thank God I didn't lose the connection then on the phone. Because he said, I got in the word and I saw that I had to give it to God. And then I was able to do that. I said, phew. So I'm thinking, man, we're going to have some counseling here. I mean, hate's a pretty strong word. Pretty ugly. But see, those thoughts come. The enemy wants to bring those thoughts. That's his job. That's his job. Just know that, and you'll be prepared for it. Cast those things down. Philippians 3, a couple more scriptures. Help us to stay steadfast. Paul's writing here, and let's just start in verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. See, there's effort. I press on. I press on and that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. See, Paul was pretty focused. He didn't have 19 different assignments. There was times when he disobeyed God and didn't do what he was supposed to be doing, and he found out right away that, you know, he had to make a correction. But he says, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Friends, you're going to have to forget some things that are behind you because the enemy likes to bring those things up. He wants to bring them up to drain you, to wear you out, to confuse you. See, that's all part of those thoughts, to bring confusion. God, if you're confused, God's already told us he's not the author of it. Satan is. And so when confusion comes, what happens? You can't think straight. You're not making good decisions. You're just wishy-washy on everything. It might cause you to not say anything, or it might cause you to say things, open your mouth when you shouldn't. But he says, one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and I reach forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. See, we have a calling on our lives, and we want to fulfill that. And we want to reach for that. And that's every day of our lives that God's got assignments for us. He's got a plan for us, and he wants us to fulfill it. But without being diligent, because that's what we're talking about tonight, without being diligent in his word, you're going to be frustrated. You're never going to find your purpose. You're never going to answer that call. You'll be just going through the hamster cage of life, I kind of call it. You go round and round and round. And yeah, you can go to church for 30, 40 years, but that doesn't mean you're growing. God wants us to grow. 2 Peter chapter 1. I love this portion of scripture. Shows us that he's given us everything. Isn't that good news? 2 Peter chapter 1, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, how is it going to be multiplied to you? God doesn't just push a button and start downloading everything into your mind. You're going to have to get into his word. So everything's been given to us, but it's in his word. It says, in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. The knowledge of God is right here. And as we get it, as we digest it, as we're diligent with it, he goes on to say, his divine power has given, that implies he's already done it, he has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and excellence, by which have been given, see, it keeps getting gooder and gooder, exceeding great and precious promises. See, but you got to find them and you got to apply them to your life and you got to stand on them because the devil wants to take them away from you. He wants to tell you that's not working for you. He wants to tell you that, well, that's for those people, but you know, you're just one of those, your number didn't get picked. No, that's a lie. That's a lie. Anything that's coming from the enemy is a lie. So don't fall for it. Says, verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence. So you're going to have to use that diligence to draw out what these precious promises are, exceedingly great and precious promises. Bible says over in Corinthians that all of his promises are yes and amen, but you got to find them. Now, we have a little book in the bookstore called In Him. How many have looked at that? How many have read that? That's a wonderful little book. It's like over 140 different scriptures that talk about what belongs to you as a Christian. In Christ, in him, in whom. Read them. They're all found in the Bible. But that little book, you could sit down and read that thing in probably 30 minutes and read 100 and some scriptures of God talking to you and showing you what belongs to you. And I'd encourage you to read it every week until you digest it, until you know what belongs to you. Because when you need something that belongs to you, if you have to wait to go find out what belongs to you, you're probably already missing half of what's available. You know what I mean? If you know it, you can immediately partake of it and put it to work for you. All right. So he says, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue or excellence, to virtue knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, sounds like the fruit of the Spirit here, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours, are they yours? Absolutely. And abound. That's the key. Are they abounding for you? They should be. You will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his own sins. See, if you don't find out what's in the new covenant, you're not going to realize that it's any better than what the old covenant was. Verse 10, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent. So now we're even adding more diligent here. To make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. So God's telling you, you won't even stumble if you're diligent with my word and put these things into operation. That's nice because stumbling's no fun. You bump your nose or you bump your elbow or you bump something, and bumps don't always feel good. All right, almost done here. Galatians 6. We're going to close it down here. Galatians 6, verse 7, do not be deceived. That would imply that it's possible to be deceived. So be aware of that. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary. There's a lot of people growing weary. Just don't do it. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, say due season. See, because of the culture we grow up in, we expect instantaneous of everything. You know, the fast food and the banks. And I told you once, even in Florida, they had a church that was a drive-up church. And I thought that was just ridiculous. But But anyway, he goes on to say, don't grow weary while doing good. In the Amplified, let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time and at the appointed season, we might reap. No, we shall reap. If we don't loosen and relax our courage and faint. So it's possible to relax and loosen. Over in Hebrews, says, don't cast away your confidence. Don't cast away your faith. You've worked hard to get to that place. Stay in there. Don't let the devil drive you out of faith and back into his territory. And so it brings us right back to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence. With all diligence. That's something that you and I have to do on a regular basis if we're going to be victorious in the things of God. Amen? Well, why don't you stand with me and we'll close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of the word. And as it goes into the good ground of our hearts, it's going to produce. It's going to produce. Not maybe, it's going to. So we thank you, Father, for all that you have shown us here tonight. I pray that we would continue to meditate on these scriptures and glean from them exactly what you'd have for us in our time of need, in our situations. Personalize it. So we thank you, Father. Give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you all for coming.